Perhaps it is a bit risky these days to quote a former president, but after more than 30 years removed from Ronald Reagan's presidency, I'm hoping that I'm safe, or at least that I can get away with it. During his farewell address to the nation in 1989, President Reagan offered some final advice for our country. First and foremost, he said, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." Now, President Reagan was maybe a little bit more correct in his advice than even he realized. It turns out that more often than not, a meal shared with others is much more than just meeting our caloric needs. After all, we're neither robots nor irrational animals. A meal is something that is very special when shared with a loved one. This is, of course, most true at the Last Supper, when our Lord offers the unbloody sacrifice of Calvary, his very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity, at the Passover meal with his apostles, which is made present again here and at every Mass. The Bible, it turns out, is in both the Old and the New Testaments, is replete with stories of how people's lives were changed over the course of a meal. Today we heard two such stories of people hosting God himself in their homes. That is, for a meal, in God himself, who understands that meals are much more than just meeting our bodily needs. In both stories, we see the contrast of people working hard and busily to serve God with a meal, but at the same time, and in a much more satisfying way, how God feeds his people with his word. This, I suppose, is the lesson that Jesus teaches us specifically in our gospel today. Mary is concerned with being fed with the words of Christ, but Martha is concerned with feeding others worldly food. Obviously, Martha is not ill-intentioned, and the Lord does treat her gently, as we hear him say that classic line, "Martha, Martha." She is doing a good thing, being concerned with others' bodily needs, but she is not doing the one necessary thing, being fed by God, communing with him, feasting on the words of eternal life. Our Lord comes before us today just as he came before Martha and Mary. And how many of us are guilty of worrying about worldly things, even here during Mass? And I know that I'm often guilty even myself. It's hard to make sure we're sitting quietly at the feet of our Lord. But this concern for worldly affairs, at its worst, leads us to the sin of self-reliance, where we look to ourselves and our own abilities rather than approach God with gratitude as the true source of our gifts and abilities, and with trust for those areas where we are weak. And with all the great technological and scientific advancements over the last number of centuries, our culture has swollen with pride and our apparent self-reliance and capabilities. And with great poignancy, we see this happen all too often, especially as many even seek to redefine human sexuality and gender, which is not just tolerated, but celebrated, perhaps very present to us as we just finished the aptly named Pride Month. So what is our response when we are force-fed these ideologies every day and night? How do we respond when we are told self-reliance is a good thing, and when we are told that we can provide for ourselves rather than rely on God? Well, we boldly take the example of Mary. In a way foreign to our modern culture, we put aside our distractions, our worries, we put aside our very selves. We come simply to sit at the feet of Christ, to feast on the words of eternal life. And this is, of course, accomplished in our daily prayer, which is especially elevated if we do have the opportunity to spend time in the presence of the Eucharist in adoration. And that daily prayer, that intimate and deep daily prayer and communing with God, culminates every week here at the Mass, when we have the opportunity to commune in the most special way with God himself in the Eucharist. And this may not, there may not be any quick or easy fixes for the state of the world today, but one thing we can offer the Lord for change is our very selves, and the people we can most easily influence for the good, the people we can most easily share our relationship with Christ with, are those in our immediate community, and probably most importantly, our family. So in conclusion, as I said, President Reagan was very indeed correct when he said that all great change begins at the dinner table. But perhaps more importantly, the greatest change of all happens when we feast on the words of eternal life in our daily prayer, at Mass, and in all the sacraments. A world swollen with pride is sure to notice that we eat a food that truly satisfies, that truly nourishes, a food that prepares us for eternal life.